This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now a doohy after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 98.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, in studio with Mr. Tyron Cabral, online with Mr. David Prince, Scotty Doe Johnson, and Mr. Edward Bunting. How are you, gentlemen?
Good evening, all.
Doing well, thank you.
Doing good, thank you.
Very, very good.
You have to say you're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm good. I'm good, Edward.
We need everyone to acknowledge that they are indeed good.
Good. Well, Tyron should be better than good because our man got engaged on the weekend.
Oh, yes. Oh my God. I didn't even know you had a boyfriend.
Yes. Oh, no. Sorry, Edward. I'm taken.
You're off the market.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hence the fresh cuts you were alluding to earlier.
Oh, that I've already commented on. Luckily, yes. I did.
Before the show. So, obviously,
hang on, Tyrone. Hang on, let's rewind a little bit, right? I remember when you broke up with the last girlfriend, and now in this short space, you've now not only found another amazingly compatible partner and got engaged, and I got nothing. How is this possible? You've come out of one relationship into another, and now you're engaged in the space, and I can't even get a date.
I don't know what to say, Edward. Better start
considering other options.
I mean, this is just disheartening for me, really. Or as happy as I am for you.
Well, Edward, he's officially off the market now, unfortunately.
Maybe you got to, you know, grow the beard. Yeah, grow the beard.
Oh, really? Okay, all right. We'll keep going with this.
Yeah, beards are good.
Yeah,
it's worked for you, David.
Worked for me.
Don't be the odd one out. And...
It's not a man up here, aren't I? Now that I look around the room.
Just for some context to our listeners, because they kind of obviously see us, we've all got beards and we've all got partners, and Edward, no beard, no partner. There's something in the beard, Edward.
Maybe there is. All right.
You can work on that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, Edward. You don't have to work on it hard. You just wait it out, and it'll come.
Just go to sleep, and then
that's it.
In the background.
Yeah.
Very, very good. So sorry, Edward. He is off the market. But congratulations, Tyrone. Just wanted to wish you a congratulations on the show. It's a big event. I saw some of the pictures. It looked pretty spectacular.
It was good. It was a hotel in Paran, so. Yeah, I actually booked that place because obviously of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm.
What's it called, this hotel?
The Cullen.
Oh, yeah. I know it.
So.
When was this event? Was this Saturday night?
It was on Saturday night, correct.
I was down on the chapel and around there on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
It was hitting the clubs on Chapel Street.
Yeah, I went out to the clubs on Chapel and, you know, a few drinks beforehand. I didn't see you around there.
No, I was more on the commercial side road. You'd go down to Angus and Bon. You know, it's pretty good steak place.
Okay.
Yeah, very good. Very good steak place. And then the day before that Friday, we went to Risotto's in Crown.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too bad. It was nice there as well. So that was good. It was a good weekend, I'd say. Also... To add to that list, I also did get a new job.
Oh, you're a new job?
So that's going to be starting at the end of the month. So, yeah, when things come, they come flying.
As opposed to fiancé instead of boyfriend.
Yeah.
What's your new job?
Same role. Yeah, okay. Same role, same field, but just different company.
Okay.
End of the month. Got to be heading off to Brisbane for training because they're Brisbane based. So, I'll be there for a week.
Cool. Well, I got to shake things up. This is no good for me at all.
Bunting, we got to work. We got to wingman you.
I'm gonna have to a bit of a you know, what do you call it when you sit a brainstorming session and a
bit of a deep session going.
Get out the crayons. Let's get out the crayons and draw some maps. Talk about our feelings and shit.
Yeah, it's important. It's important. It's definitely important. But congratulations, Tyrone. Seems like the world's all coming up, Tyrone. Let's go around the room. Obviously, Tyrone, you've probably been too busy for car updates.
Nothing on my end, no.
But we'll start with who was on first. Mr. David Prince, updates with you.
Not a lot to update this week, aside from Sunday morning was a fabulous morning. I saw half of you wonderful people at Highball at the Mall in Heidelberg. Instagram seems to be full of pictures and reels from that. Or maybe it's just my Instagram, I don't know. But it was a great, great day. And it's almost taken on a feel a bit like Picnic Hanging Rock, run by the Macedon Rangers Club that I stopped going to a couple of years ago because you seem to walk for kilometres and kilometres and kilometres. And then the week after, you talk to other people that were there and they'd say, oh, did you see the such and such? And say, no, I didn't see it at all. You know, like you just couldn't actually see anything. It reminded me of that when I was looking at some of the photos and reels from Highball, because there were cars there that I saw photos of I didn't even see on the day. So, yeah, it was a really good turnout. Very eclectic collection of stuff too. So, Ed and I hadn't talked prior to the day, so I didn't know what Ed was bringing. And I was wandering down through the mall and spied down the very end a little blue Honda, and I thought, look at that. And I realised it was my old car. Oh. It is now the custodian of. Mm. So yeah, that was great. So I was busy telling people about it who know what it was, and it was nowhere to be seen. I had to ring you a couple of times.
You really did my job for me, David.
I was
stood next to it for a little bit, but you know, you want to be out and about looking around. And I was lucky to get that spot because when I drove in, I sort of thought, I was going to go on the fringes, and I thought, nah, bugger it. I'll go under the guts and see if there's a little spot somewhere. And the man just waved me in, and it was sort of a prime spot on the corner. So I think that was good for little Honda PR.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it was flanked by Minis. So it's sort of like, oh, there's Minis. Hang on, but that's not a Mini. And that, I think people would have sort of, been triggered to go, what is that?
What is that? That's right.
It got more love than the Minis there on the day, I think. Like there was people crowded around your car looking at it and talking about it, and then the Minis were just there. So
yeah, well, that's how we roll. We like to be a bit different.
Yeah. It was an incredibly cool little Citroen 2CV parked just behind it too. I always used to think of the 2CV as like a French scamp. Obviously, the 2CV is older, but air-cooled, two-cylinder, gear shift coming up out of the dashboard.
It's not dissimilar.
Not dissimilar. However, I can now attest to the fact that the Scamp will actually drive rings around a 2CV. So that's always satisfying to know. There's also a cool, I saw some photos. There was like a collection. I parked quite near a collection of yellow cars. Now, it was a bit like, moths being attracted to the light, I think. There was a bright yellow box.
Four or five of them, yeah.
Yeah, there was a Jazz, very clever titles, car. There was AE30 Corolla.
Clio, I think, wasn't there?
Yeah, Clio. Yeah. I think it's 300ZX, but yeah, they were installed in this one group, and then there were a couple of reels on all the other yellow cars over there too. So I think yellow might be is being identified as a cool colour to have.
We think yellow.
Yeah, no, that was a great day. I was in the N1 only because I had to. I had a bit of running around during the afternoon at the other side of town. And anyone who lives in Melbourne and has experienced the M1, the other side of the Westgate Bridge, you really want to get your ducks in a row for that bit of road at the moment. And the thought of driving my 50-year-old K car through there.
Now, David.
I know. That's fine for you, Ed. I know we've had this
discussion. I did that because I went after Highball. I went to the exact
same place
where David was. And I just put my navigation on my phone and pointed the Scamp west, and we zinged our way out there and zinged our way back. But there was a fair bit of freeway in it. But I like taking a Scamp on the freeway.
I don't mind taking a Scamp on a freeway, but that bit of freeway is horrific at the moment with the lanes and people not knowing what lanes they're in and the
riding. I did nearly hit a lane cruiser at one point.
You what, sorry?
I nearly hit a Land Cruiser at one point.
There you go.
Well, that was sort of my fault. I didn't really look as well as I should have. But it's good getting the scamp out and giving a bit of high revving exercise. I like scamp.
Born to do that. Born to do that.
Yeah.
Hmm. But there was also the other car that really stood out for me that I only saw in pictures, not in the not while I was there, was a KE55 Corolla Coupe Double X, which was a very rare thing. That was the first time Double X was used on Corollas. They were a two-door coupe. They had the nicer alloy wheels, the body-coloured bumpers, and lots of crushed velour was dyed to trim those interiors.
Rest in peace, rest in peace.
So that was pretty cool. Centre red with grey, I think it was. Beautiful car. So, yeah, lots of cool stuff.
So for our listeners at home, David is a Honda man through and through, but he's very partial to an early Corolla.
Sorry, who is?
You. Very partial to an early Corolla. So
there's two cars were Corolla, so
correct. There you go. So he's if you got any nice Corollas, you know, send them through to him. He'll be like, ooh.
In fact, what I sent you before the meeting, I sent around to the group, but it didn't show up because of through Facebook, who could control that could see it was a 1990 SX hatch with 60,000 k's on the clock. Own a car, 21,990 they want for it.
Hang on, what model is that? 1990?
Yeah, so the SX.
A Seeker.
Not a Seeker, no, the hatch. So
hatch,
not,
yeah.
not.
Oh, the hatch, yes, yes, yes.
Just the flat-backed hatch. But an SX.
How many cars on?
Under 70,000, 60 something.
Yeah, okay. That's a bit special, that model.
Oh, it was just, it's absolutely mint. It's on JDM sales and those sort of pages at the moment. Wow.
Is that an Aussie car or
an Aussie delivered car and mature owners from new who have just bought a GR Corolla, evidently?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's natural progression.
It's the logical progression, isn't it?
Yeah.
4AG powered SX Corolla into a Corolla GR. That's just. They remind me of the lady with the TX3 turbo. That's my unicorn car. She probably walked into a Ford dealership and said, I want the best laser you've got. Like, I want the top of this, top of the range. And it's like, oh, I don't know if it's for you. I want the most expensive one. That's what happened. So I think that's what's happened with this mature age couple.
They bought it back then
and they bought the next one.
But the thing is mint, absolutely mint. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, I'm partial to a Corolla too.
Scotty, big updates.
What's going on? Has he done a gasket?
He's frozen. He's blinking.
He's blowing bubbles. He's done a gasket. Scott.
Me? You got me?
Yeah, we got it.
Keeps dropping out and stuff, so I might have to change it to my phone. So let me know if it cuts out again.
That's all right.
Well, you're in Western Australia somewhere.
My weekend was an emotional roller coaster.
Scott, tell us this tale of woe.
Scotty, we wrote it right with you. We were riding with you.
I was keeping you updated, wasn't I? It started with figuring out the problem with the car with the coolant disappearing. Ended up being a radiator that was completely started to separate and expanded. So the fix of the leaky transmission fluid was easy. That was just, sometimes the hose clamps underneath gripping that tight, it starts to wear out and goes kind of crusty and goes through it. So luckily there was quite a bit of that hose. So I was able to cut off that 5 centimeters and still slide on. So that was an easy fix on there. Radiator wasn't too bad to change. Not as easy as a 31. There's just more things plugged into it and a little bit tighter to get to and remove things. But in the end, wasn't that bad. So got that in there, put the hoses back on. Started pouring in the coolant, started it up, and I think it was like within a couple minutes and I had both of the fans turn on and I'm watching the temp gauge go up. I was like, and I'm having a feel of the bottom radiator hose and that was still cold. It's like, maybe it's the thermostat. I hadn't changed that. I don't know when that's been changed. So I thought it's bound to be the thermostat probably. I should have changed that as well. So I went to... I went to Repco because I got RACV, so I get discount. So I went there. They're like, yep, got it in for you, but we don't have the gasket, so the seal. I went, that's a pain. All right. I thought, I'll grab it, and Autobahn's on the way. They're about to have the seal. So off I went. went to Autobahn. They didn't have a thermostat or a gasket for it. Nothing. I was like, oh, that's pretty trash for them. And then I thought I'd go out of my way and go to Supercheap because I know they have it in stock where you can see it and all that. They had both in stock, ready to go, hanging on the shelf. So hats off to Supercheap for having everything ready to roll. Went home, hard bolts to get to, trying different fitments to get there and got the two bolts off and took that out, put in the new one, done it all up again, started to refill the radiator all over again. And it was still doing it. It lasted a little bit longer, but that bottom hose was still cold and that. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I thought I filled it up enough. And obviously I had the radiator cap off and I was burping it. And I thought, it's not really bubbling that much anymore. So what's going on? So I put the radiator cap on, let it go. It's lasted a little bit longer, but then both fans turned on again and that pretty much stayed on the two fans. And I'm looking in the overflow bottle and I can see some bubbles popping up. And I thought, the car's done. It's head gasket. It's buggered. And the funny thing is, because the way I'm doing it is I've just got some towels and I put it around when I'm pouring the coolant because, you know, it will come up and overflow. And I'm looking underneath and I can see fresh coolant coming from the exhaust manifold where the heat shield is, and it's dripping from the heat shield and dripping down. I'm like, what the hell? Like, where is this coming from? Like, is it that stuffed that's coming through the engine block or something? I'm like, what the hell?
Wow, dire. Horrors.
I thought this thing was absolutely knackered. I'm like, oh my God. Like, how am I going to get to work? What am I going to do? It's going to be a nightmare. It's
VX.
Like, yeah, I want to look for another car, but
a selection of cars.
I wanted a bit more time.
I can rent you a car.
Buy one, and I'm like, oh, bloody hell. I'm going to have to try and take it somewhere, get it done. Then the next day, I thought, you know what? I forgot I've got my old laptop, and I've got the whole Subaru system. So I plugged in the OBD2, plugged in that. And I thought, you know, I'll just monitor it and see what temperatures is it actually getting to. Undid the radiator cap, heard a couple blah, 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 blah noises. I went, okay. Poured in some more, started filling it up some more. But I was just doing it really, really slowly, just letting it pour in really slowly back in. Started it up again. The overflow tank had dropped down, so I poured some more in there. And thought, I won't put the radiator cap again. I'll leave that off and just see how it goes. Started up. Off it goes, a couple more, you know, big bubbles coming out. And I'm just watching the temperature go up and I'm like, it's going up awfully slow. Like by now, the fan would have started kicking in. I'm like, geez, this is slow. This is good. Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
This seems really, really good. So I'm sitting there watching it, you know, it gets to 70 degrees and it's going up. I think it was happily sitting on about 85 degrees. And this is just idling. It's not driving anywhere. I'm just sitting there. It's just idling away and I see the fluid come up and down. And like, it's not really overheating. So I go underneath the car and feel the bottom pipe, the bottom radiator hose. And it's actually hot now. I'm like, ah, oh, okay. I can feel a bit of pressure in it. Because last time it just felt soft. I could easily just squish it.
Yeah.
Time it was hot and I could feel the pressure in it. I'm like, ah, oh, okay. We're onto something here. It's going up and up and up. It hits about 95 degrees. The fans kick, the one fan, so there's two fans on it, and just one of them kicks in, drops the temperature down to about 89 degrees in like 10 seconds, if that, in no time. And then the fans kick off and then the fan turns off. And then slowly it'll get back up to 95, fan kicks in, drops straight back down again. And I had that idling like that, just sitting there for like 30 minutes. And just now and again, just topping up a little bit more and it's overflowing. And what I ended up figuring out when I said it was coming from the heat shield of the exhaust on the reservoir on the top where I'm pouring it in, there's actually a tiny hole. And because the towel's getting too full, it's dripping down that hole and then it runs all the way down underneath into the exhaust manifold. It comes underneath, right underneath, and it drips from there. So that's what it was. Because I was getting like puddles sometimes, like, what the hell? I got something covering it. Like, where is it going? But yeah, the towel couldn't hold much of it. So it's kind of flowing through and dripping down that little hole. And then it runs all the way down to the bottom. So that was that. I drove to work today. No dramas. I took it out for a spin yesterday. No, it gets to about, I think it happily sits on about, when you're driving, about 85 degrees or something, which is normal from what I heard. I think between like 80 and 100 or 105 is pretty normal.
Yeah, that's where you want to be. Yeah, so we've just lost Guy. Completely lost him. He'll come back in a moment. When he comes back, Edward, we'll let him finish his updates. But Edward, updates with you.
What have I done? David sort of covered off the Cars and Coffee event. The Scamp clocked actually, David, 24,000 miles.
Look at you.
So I think when I got it was 22.7 something something or 8 something something. So I've done what, 22, 23. What have I done? Probably 1,400 miles in it or something. That's not bad. That's, you know, that's more than it's done in a lot of years. But no, running well. I adjusted the idle on it because when it's hot, it was idling nicely. But when it's cold, it's a pig and it stalls at the lights and what have you. So I've just bumped up the idle a bit so that it's a little bit more resilient when it's cold. Mm. You don't have to sort of warm it up quite as long. I tend to be an impatient person. So you sort of get in and go, you know, like if you were driving for maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes or something straight up, you know, and there weren't any traffic lights, you'd be fine and it would idle. But if you sort of go around the corner and then stop at a bit, you know, to die again, you've got to, and the choke on that thing, you know, it sucks itself in, it doesn't stay out. So it's not like you can keep the car revving higher, you know, every other choke I've had sort of, you know, you pull it out and it stays out pretty much, except some of those newer Hondas will do it as well. They'll suck themselves in. But the Scamp seems to suck itself back in. I don't know if that's a factory thing or if it's, I don't know, if it just does that. I don't know if it's meant to or not. Anyway.
Mine does that. That's what mine does.
Does it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah, maybe it's meant to do it. I mean, Mr. Honda was an engineer and the later Hondas do it. So maybe it's just, you know, he thought it was a great idea, but I want to control the choke, not the car controlling the choke.
Right.
Anyway. So, yeah, that's that. What else? The Suzuki Swift Sport that I had for sale garnered more messages than I've ever had on any car I've ever sold. I stopped counting over 120 something, but it would have been about 130 messages on that one car in the 1 week that I owned it.
Yeah.
It was an absolute pain in the ass. People are incredibly demanding. And I think I regaled you last week with some of the messages maybe that I...
We had a live action update, actually, as messages were coming through last week.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Yes. So in the end, I sold it. I made a tiny bit of money on it, but it really only... It was not worth my time. I think the moral of the story there is cars that are... unregistered and unroadworthy are now in this day and age just really hard to sell. You know, everyone wants everything handed to them on a platter. No one wants to actually do any work or any sort of put any sort of effort in. So, you know, it just becomes a very painful exercise to deal with the scum of society on these cheap cars. So yeah, I won't be diving into any more of those in any great hurry. So now the Prado, I still have. I'm found a place to store that, so I think I'm going to keep that until next year when I drive it to a holiday island destination. So I think I'll just shove that in a shed and disconnect the battery, and that can just sit there because it's got long rego on it. So it's not really costing me anything to have it sit there. What else? What else? The Berliner that I have is online. That's on car sales only as of the weekend. So that's early days on that. I haven't been inundated with messages yet on that car. What else? What else? I don't think I've done anything else car-wise. I think that's about it.
Very, very good.
Myself. Matthew. Tell us about Matthew.
Sunday was an interesting day. So Mr. Andrew Rilsworth, who's been on the show and a good friend of the show, came down to my end and we drove in together. So he followed me in his lovely beige GLX TP Magna Wagon manual injected and Typhoon to the event. So that was a nice day. And I'm leaving and I get a message from the guy about the LTD and he's like, I'm coming to pick it up. And I'm like, oh, really?
Huh.
So, about bloody time.
So, and it was like a month and a half after putting a deposit, but anyway.
He must have listened to the show.
He must have listened to the show. So basically, he came and picked it up. But it was the weirdest car handover thing I've ever done. I reckon it was. He didn't even look at the car. He just hopped in the car, and then he's like, "Oh, the seats are a bit disappointing. I thought they were a bit better than that." Didn't look under the bonnet. Didn't look at any pull open any of the doors. Didn't look at anything. Just handed me the cash and said, "See you later." And just put a permit in the window. And drove it off, and I'm like, that was the weirdest, you know, car. Didn't want to talk. I'm like, oh, you know, enjoy, look after it. It's a good car. He just looked at me and just drove off. I was like, oh, I'm like, all right, whatever. So
it's good. It's gone.
Oh, it's probably going to be torn apart and put into a million pieces. Is what I think is going to happen to it, or he's going to, which is a bit of a shame. But what can you do?
Don't know that he might have been overawed by the beauty of it.
I'd love to
couldn't
say
wait to get at home to
David, but I sincerely disagree with you.
Club plates off it, Maddie.
Yeah, everything's off it, mate. Everything's off it. Everything's off it. Club plates, David.
So he came prepared with the permit.
He did. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
that's he asked me what the VIN was, and I sent him the VIN, and he's like, "Yep, all right, I'll see you at 1 o'clock."
And he's paid you all the monies.
Has cash is in my, or he paid me cash, so that's put in my bank account. That's all sorted. Yeah, like it's, I don't know, it was bittersweet in a way. Like, I was happy to get rid of it, but like, I was just like, well, you know, it was time, I think, to get rid of that car because it wasn't a car that I, in inverted commas, wanted to have in my, you know, grand collection. It's more a car of like, I was happy to do my bit, bring it back, and then move it on to the next person to finish the job. So, like, I sincerely hope he does, and you know, it started on the button as it always does, and you know, it was a he's like, oh, does it run? And I'm like, yeah, of course it runs. I'm like, you've come all this way to tow it home in an Astra. So he turned the key and it bang on the button, and he looked incredibly surprised. He's like, oh, okay, righto. And then I gave him some spare parts that I had with it. I had a spare water pump, which I'm never going to use because it only fits on that car. And he's like, oh, and he started going off. He's like, oh, what is the water pump stuffed in this thing? I'm like, mate, I'm giving you a spare one. Just be grateful. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to take it. And he's like, oh, and he just threw it in the back seat. And he didn't care. I was like, righto. So it was, again, the weirdest buying experience I've ever had. Like, it makes me not want to sell a car ever again. Like, it was a shocking experience. So yeah, bittersweet. That's gone. So yeah, down to my collection. So I've gotten rid of my two 80s luxury esque cars. So the 124 gone, LTD gone. So yeah, now just downsizing and gonna consolidate it that way. Typhoon
soon to come on to Club Ridge.
Well, it's already on a club permit. I've got to get the roadworthy and put it into my name. That'll happen soon. Once Ratner's in the new factory, which is I think next week.
Oh, they're moving.
Yeah, he's moving factories. Yeah,
far?
No, like a block away.
Oh.
So, I'll fill you in after the show. Mm. But anyway, so that's pretty much it on mine. But yeah, the LTD after it's been virtually a year on sale, like 348 days or something, is officially sold. And then I did the questionnaire on cars. So did we sell your car? I'm like, no, you didn't. It was on Facebook Marketplace. So yeah, that's gone. But anyway, that's that. Moving on to tonight's topic, gentlemen.
Scott to finish.
Oh, sorry, Scotty. Yes, yeah, Scotty's got to finish.
Yeah, this back.
So Scotty, you're back. You're back from the abyss. Last we heard from you, your car it must have had like an airlock in the cooling system. And it burped itself out, and now no more bubbles in the coolant. We're all good for the moment.
Yeah, it's running fine. So I took it for a test drive and everything, and it just reaches, and I think like, you know, between 85 to 90 degrees, and it just stays around there. And that's it. And that's good operating temp. I think between like 80 and 105 is pretty normal.
That's pretty normal.
But yeah, mine just... if it's sitting idling for a while, it'll get to like 95, but then the fan will kick in and drop it straight back down to like 90 or 89 anyway. So everything fine, normal. Yeah.
So the cause of all of that, Scotty, was the radiator issue.
Yes. So, yeah, I guess it was the radiator. I mean, it's been in there for, what, 20 years? So And they're just aluminium with plastic end tanks. So
yeah,
they're not going to really last long. Of course, they're going to kind of crap themselves. But, you know, I was actually lucky to get a radiator. A lot of them I was looking for, I wasn't going to be able to get them till this week. But I got it delivered the very next day through Repco.
Oh, right. That's pretty good.
They had one in stock at Water Gardens and they delivered it to me.
Well, you're very lucky that it's not a head gasket.
I know. I thought, oh, my God, Ed, you bastard. You've jinxed me. Like, I'm like, my God, I hate that man.
It's like,
now he's showing me bloody VXs.
I could rent you the VX should you need it as the temporary car.
I appreciate that.
For our viewers, Scotty.
If I was still in that drama, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Or the Prado. You could rent the Prado, maybe. It's funny. A friend of mine rang me this morning and said, oh, what cars you got lying around, Ed? And I was like, oh, there's a couple. And he said, oh, yeah, my new Hyundai doesn't arrive for a few weeks. I might need to rent one off you. And I was thinking, well, the Prado is the perfect choice because I'm going to hang on to it anyway till next year. It's got Reggio anyway. So pay me a few $100 and sure, rent the Prado. But turns out it's Hyundai giving him a car now, so he doesn't need it.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Yeah, but good to know, you know, it's good to have that option.
Hey, Mr. Scotty Johnson, I've seen someone who looks suspiciously like you pop up on a couple of other sites asking questions about different models of cars and body kits and things like that. So,
oh, did you?
I have it on good authority that you may well be getting your ducks in a row.
Yeah, this the good thing is that I've got time now, so, you know, I don't need to really look what's available here in Australia. Yeah. I've got more time to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
With that little scare, I think it's, you know, I mean, I got no dramas. This Subaru's been fantastic for as long as I've had it. And I know everyone's like head gasket issues and stuff like that, but I think from what I've read, don't quote me Subaru people, but my engine is that little bit different and a bit tougher because it's a twin turbo one. I think it's an EJ206. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the manuals are 207, 8 or 9, one of those is the manual version of that engine. And I think they're just that built that little bit different with a few extra little goodies to keep it happy.
It's yours manual speed. No, it's auto, isn't it?
Yours is. I think that might be the saving grace with that one, because it's not just a normal EJ20 or an EJ25, which are prone. Yeah,
I think the 20s are better all round than the 25s. Head gasket, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, when I typed in like head gasket, because I just wanted to see the problems that people had leading up to it, and like, it's kind of sounding the same. And all of them were just, 2.5s, even just the non-turbo, just the RS 2.5s.
Yeah.
Eric on that. They're just head gaskets left, right, and center.
It's
I had a look how to do it. A guy's showing you how to do it without taking the engine out. I was like, I'm not doing that.
It's actually easier to take the engine out. Like, there's no point in doing it.
Yeah, you want to hoist and just be able to drop it.
Yeah.
And then do it.
Hang on a minute, guys. Autogate inquiry, Berliner. Live on air.
Ooh.
Keep talking amongst yourselves. I'm going to invest.
We need that news flash music. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
So that was my up and down emotional weekend, like a roller coaster. Oh, the funny thing is, because when I did the coolant and everything, it's splashed up. It's, you know, it's gone everywhere underneath it because I have to change it twice. Mm. I've got the container that goes down there, but it hits the container and it splatters everywhere. So I made, you know, a fair bit of mess under there, all the manifolds there. And the first day I took Ash's car to work because she wasn't at work on that day and she just needed to go to the doctor's appointment. I said, it's around the corner, take my car. That'll be fine. And when I get home, I'll test it again and give it a good run. And she got there and she calls me up and goes, oh my God, your car's not fixed. There's smoke coming out of it everywhere. I'm like, oh, I forgot to tell you, that'll just be burning off all the oils and stuff. On the So I accidentally freaked her out. I was like, I'm so sorry, I should have told you. Yeah, it's just covered in all the oils and coolant and stuff. It's just burning it all off the exhaust. She's like, oh, it smells. I'm like, yeah. But no. Other than that, it's all healthy. It's good. It's running well.
Good to hear.
Best case scenario.
Yes, it is all good.
Believe it or not, Scotty, in Japan, the STIs that they had there, they kept running a 2 liter. So they basically, we got, everywhere else in the world got the 2.5 and we all had issues, but Japan kept the 2 liter in the STIs there and they seem to be a lot better. So, but anyway.
Yeah. It was like, sounded like it was a good thing, you know, that extra torque that you'd get from it, from a little bit more capacity, but I don't know, head gaskets, my goodness.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've driven both. I prefer the 2.5. It's just, I think they're a nicer engine to drive because you do get that bit of torque. But in terms of reliability, they're just not there. So tonight's topic, gentlemen, is if you could, out of all the cars that have happened, that have been made, build your ultimate car, like parts of, like, for example, it could be a Porsche 911 with an LS and an all-wheel drive swap or what have you. What would be your ultimate car parts bin special that you could put together and be like, you know what, that would be the best thing I could have, and that would work for me, that would fill all my needs and make me a happy person. If I had this car with that engine, with this, you know, steering components, whatever, what have you, what would it be? And I got thinking this because last week we were talking to Rob about his Barra Merc and how that was a good money spinner for him, and you know, and it was turned out to be quite a reliable car. I was like, oh, what would be the ultimate car? Like, and it doesn't have to be a completely different branded swap or anything. It could be like, for example, a EK Civic with a B16 and you know, a Type R body kit and you know, a few bits of like, you know, performance suspension, etc. with some inky RPF1s. You know, it could be that, and that's like that. Happy days. I'm a happy man. Well,
that's true, haven't you, Matty?
Oh, my mind works in weird ways. Like, I'm constantly thinking of all the different things I could do. So gentlemen, I'll leave it in your capable hands. What would be your ultimate, you know, your ultimate car, like that your ultimate parts bin special, where you basically get to choose, chop and change, and you have to think about it realistically, what's going to work. Now, LSs have been put in Porsches for years, surprisingly. So they do fit, but like, if you like, you're not going to say a big Cummins engine in a Fiat 500 because that's just not going to work. So you need to, it's going to be bigger than the car. So you're going to need to think about this logically. Gentlemen, I'll leave it in your capable hands. What would be your ultimate car for you? Like, it's the ultimate car that you're wanting to have that'll do everything for you with your ultimate parts bin special.
I can kick it off. Absolutely. It's a fairly simple one, but it'd be like a 67 or 68 Mustang fastback. Just remove all the old suspension. So pretty much like a resto mod, bigger brakes, and then the crate motor. Probably go for like one of the biggest ones that you can get from Ford. I think you still get like the Ford Cobra Jet ones and stuff like that. So
yeah, I believe they got what's called like a 7.3. They call it like the Predator or something. It's something. It's like an animal, and you can buy it as a crate engine. You can just pop straight in.
Yeah, I reckon that would just be perfect. So you got the awesome brakes behind it, it'll handle well, and it's still got the nice looks. So I keep the interior pretty much stock standard, but get it all nicely done up. Just drop it off at David's and go, here you go.
Would you go fuel injection or would you keep it carbureted?
Yeah, that's interesting.
You've got to keep it carbureted.
Oh, Tyron chimes in.
Yeah, you got
to
keep
it. I would love to keep it carbureted, just that sound. And yeah, I just want
it's a different sound.
It'd just be perfect.
Live update, kids.
Oh. Yes.
The Lena viewing tomorrow night.
Oh, there you go.
Interested party. I'll keep you posted next week. We'll let you know what happens.
Well, stay tuned for more episodes of Car Talk.
Stay tuned. I love the live selling on air. It's always good, isn't it? It's interesting.
We must be good luck for you. I'm gonna have to start charging a finder's fee, Edward.
Yeah, I think that's a percentage for all of us.
Yeah, for all of us. We're gonna talk about your Bellina story, Edward, and how you are owed a dinner as well before.
You want to talk about that?
We'll talk about that towards the end of the show because. Okay. Because it goes, we're in the parts bin special stage where ultimate car, that'll do everything for you. Now Scotty said 67 or 68 fastback Mustang, all modern suspension, all modern underpinnings, and a modern crate engine, but keeping it carby. So for that noise and for that, you know, for the kind of the the feeling of an old car, I guess you would say, Tyrone. I mean, you've owned an old Mustang with a carby, and
yeah, no, it's I was gonna say Mustang as well before Scott jumped in, but yeah, I was just gonna say Mustang. When I had the Charger, I was looking at Crate Motors from America, obviously to bring down, and they're just, you can do so much with them, and yeah, they just bolt straight on. Even a Charger as well, you know, get that, change the whole suspension, put some nice big brakes on them, do that up, and then yeah, just bang a big Hemi in there, and then yeah, off you go.
Happy days. Oh, yeah. The good thing about those cars, right, like Mustangs and like anything American muscle really, is that you can, if you've got an open checkbook, you can do whatever you want, yeah, because exactly, basically everything's been done.
Yeah.
It's the only other car I can think of like that can do that are Hondas, with all, you know, like the K swaps and all everything that you can buy kits for any car. It's ridiculous, but two, it's fantastic, because for example, you can say I want a 67 Mustang, I want to put a Coyote, you know, current gen V8 in there with a T56 manual, different diffs, and then be like, yep, you'll need this bit. We sell it, we've got it here on the shelf. There you go. There's a wiring loom, there's an ECU to run it. You know, all plug and play, and then basically you can do it in your backyard, which is crazy, which is actually, to think about, like, people engineer specifics for that. Like, I know with the Honda fanboys, David, that's just for you. And I know you're not the biggest fan of K-swaps, but there's a company called K-Tune and a few other K-swapping companies where you can say, I've got an EG Civic with a, and they make it that specific. You can put it, but an EG Civic with a, you know, later model Integra front, Integra subframe, they will have the kit to make that subframe, that car, engine, everything work. And it's just like, it's the boggles of mind that someone's actually done the R&D for that. You know what I mean? Like, it's
exactly right.
It's unbelievable.
Well, they've only done it because there must be a demand, mustn't there? You know, like,
this is thanks to America.
Yeah, of course.
They love their Hondas too. Obviously, they love their muscle cars, so you got tons of that. They like their Hondas too, so you got tons of that.
Yep. 350 million people can't be wrong.
Yeah, correct. Sure. Yeah, sure. So, but it's interesting because, like, you know, when you think of America, it's like muscle cars, and then there's like, I mean, like, they love their Japanese stuff, but they don't love their Japanese stuff like they love Honda. Like I think for me, Honda in America is like, that's their car that they truly love.
Well, a lot of people in Honda in America consider Honda an American brand. I mean, they design cars there, they build them, they there's a number of plants over there now. And they employ a lot of people. So, I mean, they're very patriotic people, and that's their brand, basically. Since 82, they've been building cars, and it's 40 years now. Another swap that's really popular over there, which would be pretty cool if you could find one here, is a K-swap into a first-gen Honda Insight, which very popular. You know, saves on having to worry about batteries, replacing batteries. But yeah, it's all, as you said, Manny, plug and play. Just, you know, all the subframe mounts and everything, the engine mounts are all compatible. And yeah, that would be a little rocket because they're mostly aluminium. They don't weigh an awful lot, those insides. Yeah, with a decent gearbox, they're so highly geared. And to drive them, I've driven a manual, one of my mates has got one, a manual one out here, 60 kilometers an hour. You really have to, you're in third gear. You know, it's not worth putting it into fourth because it's literally really, really tall in the gears. So there's actually also a guy in our club who has done a K20 swap into a Jazz, into a first gen Jazz.
I've seen that. Yeah. That's getting quite common now.
Yeah. And he's an older guy and just, you know, really done it absolutely spot on and spent a lot of money, I think, on getting it completely right. And he said, I mean, I have driven it, but he said it drives incredibly well. It's a bit of a lost opportunity. That Jazz platform is such a great little car, and they're so great in Nugget Nationals. They're very popular with 1.5s in the Nugget National series. But yeah, with a K20, a well sorted out one of those would make be a very cool car.
So
what's the love affair with the K series?
It's unbelievably strong for a four cylinder. That's what the, and they're reliable and they can make big power. They love boost. They're really well, you know, loved. There's people doing MR2 swaps with K swaps and everything. It's people that are doing the Jazz or Fit swaps in America with the K20, they're saying we're making the Fit or Jazz SI that never happened because it's virtually bang bang bang. It's like Lego, and then off you go, and they're really really happy with them. So I mean, that's really kind of old school hot hatchery, really, like big 2-liter engine in a small car, like that. That's kind of where you get your power from. But
I always thought most people go for the H22 back in the day.
That was the motor because you had your torque, and it had VTEC as well. So that was what people were going for. But in terms of like money for performance, K series seem to be a little bit cheaper, and they're more readily available these days than a H22. Yep. So David, for your one then, if you had to do one, it doesn't have to be a swap. It could just be a car with like a certain set of wheels or something that you'd like. What would be your ultimate car that you could do? It could be a parts bin Honda special. It could be like, let's say, a CRV, like a lowered CRV with a you know, NSX engine, or it could be anything that you like.
I always thought the third gen Odyssey, the really sort of low one with the pointy nose, but they look really cool customized.
Looking car.
You could actually get the Euro 2.4 liter, the K24 Euro engine in those in Japan. They were called Odyssey Absolute. So that's technically not actually doing what you suggest. It's because I bring one in that actually was out of the box from Honda. But I struggled with this topic a bit because I'm a stickler for, I love the originality, and I like the cars that actually are really good combination that. You know, most cars have a sweet spot in their range of engine choices and transmissions and stuff like that. I must say today, as I was pulling off from lights and heard my DSG gearbox making noises again, I thought,
come on, David, you can't be serious. You can't be serious. Well, the same noises as before.
There's something going on, something chirpy.
Jesus Christ. And let's just recap for the listeners. David had under warranty.
We probably don't need to.
Oh, we're recapping. David had under warranty DSG gearbox, whatever they are, bloody rubber bands replaced. What, 5,000 Ks ago?
Yeah, about 5,000 Ks ago.
Yeah, so 5,000 Ks ago, under warranty, brand new because it was chirping like a little sparrow. And now that's back.
Sounds like the fan belt slipping. But it's not, you know, as you move off, and then it's going in, again into second. But it's not as bad as it was. But I'm not making excuses for it either. But it was that just after you sent through what the topic was tonight. So I thought, ooh, you could case swap a caddy because the caddy's everything about it's fantastic for what I need.
Yeah,
size and the carrying ability.
Yeah.
Drives good when it's
put some Japanese or Korean running gear in the caddy.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Then it would be absolutely chef's kiss.
So K24 caddy with a 6-speed out of a limited slip diff, and you're a happy man.
Exactly.
Me, I've got a few. I would love a DeLorean with a Kia Stinger V6 twin turbo swap. I think that would make the car go as it should. Like it'd be reliable, but two, and it's, from what I've seen, it's been done a couple, like one or two times, and not that hard to do, but that would be my piece of 80s, reliable 80s nostalgia. But I love wagons. You know, I'm a stickler for a wagon, and I'd love a 124 chassis wagon. I'd find one that's got a blown engine or an engine missing, and I'd put a bar in there with a big snail on the side, and I would just keep the wheels stock, keep it all stock, and pull up next to people in actual XR6 turbos and beat them, and I would love that. I'd love every second of it. So I do it with people sitting in the dicky seats in the back, giving them as I'd be passing them. So that is kind of that is one for the books. What about you, Bunting?
I think I sort of like the idea of taking cars that I inherently like and making it reliable, like the caddy with a Japanese engine. You know, you take a Jaguar, you know, an XJ6 or something that's a beautiful car in its own right, and you know, very timeless and iconic, but make it make the electrics work and make the motor work. And, you know, people used to put Chev V8s in them. But I'm sure there's, yeah, many more modern, and I'm not a stickler for sort of knowing all the codes of the engines. But, yeah, if you put like the Barra motor, you know, a lovely, smooth, straight six in a Jag and put a non-Lucas electrics through the whole car or something, great, you know, that fixes that problem. Range Rovers, the same, you know, I like them. You know, it's not that I hate the look of them or anything, you know, the big L322 Range Rover, but, you know, electrical gremlins and transmissions, and put some decent running gear under that and make the air suspension go away, and you got a cracking car. You know, put a Land Cruiser 5.7 or, you know, the big Land Cruiser diesel, you know, put that into the Rangey with Japanese electrics and navigation systems and all of that. And hey, nice all rounder.
See, Edward, I'm going to agree with you there, because like, I think like a lot of these cars, they get inherently okay. They just get bad raps because they've got like bad electrics or bad engines. There are companies, especially in the UK, that will take, even when they were new, but they still do it now, that they took brand new Range Rovers or Range Rovers that were like 10 or 15 or 20 years old, and then put Chevy Corvette engines, like LS motors in them. No, but like,
I want to do it brand new and just get, you know what? I'm getting in early. I've just driven out of the show and the thing's done 15 miles and I'm ripping the bloody mechanics out of it and putting a Toyota motor in. I love someone with money to just do that. And the people, and then you bring it in for service, you know, and they're like, whoa, what is this?
Who was I speaking to? So someone I spoke to recently, they had a swapped something, and they took it back to the dealer for service, and they serviced it for them. They just took it and drove off. I can't remember who it was or what car it was, but it was,
the dealer would be, they'd be scratching their heads.
It was something a bit weird, but
mechanics, yeah, the Range Rover mechanics would be like, yeah, we're on your side, mate. We get it.
Like, that was the easiest service I've ever done.
Yeah.
that was just Repco oil filter and yeah. Thanks very much.
But the fact that like a company was doing them from brand new, pulling out the BMW and Range Rover engines and putting LS engines in there and being like, yep, they're reliable now. So
yeah. Yep.
That says all you need to know. Companies also do weird things too. Like, for example, there's Flying Miata. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're like a big MX-5 company in America. And they sell anything that you want to do to an MX-5. You can restore them with them, or you can modify to your heart's content. They made the Mini Corvette by putting LS engines that you can buy a kit and you can put an LS engine in an MX-5, and it makes it like a Mini Corvette essentially.
Why would I want to turn my beautiful Japanese MX-5 into a Corvette?
Well, yes. It's more of a like a death trap at that point. It's like all engine and then like a little car, and you're going to go off into a ravine really quickly. But yeah, like for me, the Range Rover idea, like with a reliable engine with no air suspension, actually with proper coils and a proper.
Oh, to be cracking! I mean, and I love the look of those L322s. Yeah. You know, they were a big, imposing, you know, king of the road kind of car. You know, but yeah. Fix those foibles, and they're not that expensive to buy. It'd be a cracking car.
There's a guy on YouTube I watch. His name's Rabbit. That's his nickname. But Rob Pitts. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him. He's got he's got the funniest car stories ever. Like, and you can just listen to his car stories. And he's like this, like, you know, Southern American, basically, you know, full Texas accent, you know, Murica kind of guy. But he has the funniest car stories. And he's like, I've got a bit bored one day and decided I haven't had a car payment in a while. So I went down to my local, you know, Land Rover / Range Rover dealership, and because I wanted a Disco 2. Anyway, he's like, I get there and he's like, oh, yep, I like this one. But the guy's like, I'll give you a bumper-to-bumper warranty. It was a used car with like 20,000 miles or something. And he's like, bumper-to-bumper. He's like, bumper-to-bumper. Everything or anything that goes wrong, we'll cover it. He's like, all right. So he's like, he pays for it. He's like, but before I'm taking the car, you're fixing this guard. You're fixing this leak. You're fixing this. You're fixing that. And like, yeah, oh, okay. Comes back to pick the car up. It's got a coolant leak. He's like, you give my car back with a coolant leak. He's like, I didn't have the car for 6 months. And that they spent about like, I think $20,000 repairing it for him before he could take it. And it became folklore in that part of the in dealership town, where everyone knew about this story of this guy that just would keep coming back and say, no, my Land Rover is still trash. So everything virtually got replaced before he picked up the car. So it's the kind of says,
I've got a related story to that. And it's very recent. I was driving to work this morning, down a side street near where I live. And there was a car in the front trio, which was a Ironbark Pajero, which is that sort of, you know, coffee brown metallic color. It's not the most popular Pajero color. Anyway, it was all clean, motoring along happily. Behind the Pajero and in front of me was a Land Rover Discovery 3 with air suspension that had obviously completely failed. It was on its guts, the entire car. It wasn't just one end of it. The whole thing was dumped on its ass. And it was creeping over speed humps. And you could see the guy going boom, 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 boom down the road. Just really, it was very, very sick. And then there was me and my Prado behind, you know, happy as Larry. So I was like, wow, this Land Rover is bookended by reliability here. he's in pain in the middle. And I just had to have a laugh. I thought, yep, that's what you get.
Pretty much. Any last ones, guys, before we get to the quiz?
What do you want to hear, Alex? The comedy story.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the video I sent you of the Tesla? They swapped and put an engine in there.
They took the batteries out of this Tesla and put a LS engine in there.
Like, and they took it to a mechanic to get it serviced.
And they took it to a mechanic to get it serviced. And then the mechanic's like, "What the hell? It's got a V8."
That's quite funny.
I actually had to laugh. But yes, we'll get your Alex story.
Oh yes, so you guys have had Alex on the podcast a couple of times. He's into his Volvos. He has an old 164 that's been a little bit worked, you know. It's got a bit of a cam and injection and something. I don't know. He keeps fiddling with it. Anyway, we're having dinner, me and our other friend Tommy, one night recently, and Alex goes, oh, yeah, my old Volvo 164 would beat your Commodore, Ed. And I said, I don't know that it would. And yeah, totally would. And I was like, have you driven a 3.8 Commodore? And he goes, no. And I'm like, well, they're quite quick, you know, like probably sort of deceptively quick for what looks like a bit of an old man's car, you know. Now, anyway, they didn't in the day. And so he goes, yeah, I bet you guys the dinner, I'll buy dinner for all three of us, you know, if you beat me in the Commodore. I'm like, all right, are you sure you want to make that bet? Because you're going to lose, you know. And then just before the bet was being tested on a private piece of road, he goes, I bet you a dinner at Gimlet. Now, Gimlet, for those who haven't been, is a rather exclusive restaurant in Russell Street, I think it is. I've been a couple of times for birthdays and things. And it's rather expensive. And Alex went there with work, but he didn't realize sort of how much it costs to go to Gimlet. And I said, all right, Al, I'm giving you an out here. Are you sure you want to go through with this? Because you're going to lose and it's going to be an expensive dinner. And he goes, yep, I bet you Gimlet dinner. So I'm like, all right, cocky, let's go. So, yes, we lined them up on the private bit of tarmac and jumpf. And, of course, I beat him. But true to his credit, not by that much. You know, he's maybe half a length or three quarters of a length behind me, sort of thing. There wasn't much in it. So I thought, oh, the old banger Volvo did quite all right. But nothing against the 3.8.
Never late in the 3.8, Bunting.
And I said, oh, so when will we be dining out, Alex? He goes, oh, you book it. And then I said, do you know what this dinner is going to cost you, Al? Have you looked at the menu? And he goes, no. And I go, well, three people with a few cocktails and some mains, and you're probably not getting much change out of $750. And he goes, oh, what? Like, don't make bets you can't adhere to. So, you know, anyway.
So Car Talk top tip. Don't make bets with.
Don't make bets without doing your research. Number one, and number two, never underestimate the 3.8.
Never late in a.
Never late in a 3.8.
That's right, mate. That is absolutely right. Gentlemen, I think it's time for the car quiz.
Okay, let's go.
That's great.
All right, let me get my notepad ready to go. So we've got a few players tonight. We've got Mr. David Prince. We've got Mr. Tyrone Cabral. We've got Mr. Scotty Doe Johnson. And we've got Mr. Edward Bunting. So, you know the rules, guys. 10 questions plus some bonus questions. Yeah, my phone's here. He can't see it. Question one, gentlemen. Which car has recently committed, even during the upcoming electric era, to remain V8 powered?
Ed. Oh, I just saw, I heard the other day that Porsche 911 was going to remain
petrol powered. Petrol powered,
but I don't think it's a V8.
No,
it's not.
So you're going to pass, or you're going to have
No, yeah, no, I don't know.
Scott.
Corvette.
Corvette is incorrect. They didn't announce it. I mean, I'm assuming they would, but they've got an electric Corvette anyway. So, the E-Ray, they call it. But which car has committed with the upcoming electric possible powertrains to remain V8 powered or have a V8 option anyway?
Tyrone.
Is it Audi? Audi is incorrect. Mr. David Prince or Mr.
No idea, really.
Probably BMW. Stupid.
No, I already have my guess.
Oh, you had your guess.
All right, we're out. What is it?
The Mustang. Mustang has committed to stay V8. Mustang has committed to stay V8, gentlemen. Question two. A Toyota Land Cruiser J40 has recently been converted to an electric power plant. To do what kind of...
David. To drive underwater.
Correct. Absolutely. I'll pay that. To drive underwater.
Like a submarine.
Why? Is that the bonus question?
I don't know the answer.
I think it's rhetorical, really. I mean, yeah. why would you really want to? But anyway.
The bonus question, what happened decades ago when it was last attempted?
It sank.
Incorrect, Bunting, but you're not far off. But it's
the whole thought of electric cars underwater is interesting in itself. It's quite a novel concept.
It's a bit weird, but it was attempted decades ago.
I read what happened to it. I just can't remember.
Scott.
It failed. Scott. Oh, sorry. Go, Scott.
It's shorted out.
No, it didn't short out. So, Tyrone, you want to have a guess?
I don't know. It floated. It didn't sink.
It didn't.
Failed to proceed. It failed to proceed.
Any last guesses, gentlemen? It got stuck. So
technically it failed to proceed.
It failed to proceed technically, yeah. So it got stuck.
It was written up because the guy who's in that Aussie salvage squad was one of the guys. I can't remember what channel it's on, but you know, they go and pick up wreck boats out of, you know, off the beach and stuff like that.
Probably on Seven Mate, I think.
Yeah, one of those. And what the guy in that show was one of the guys on driving it underwater.
All right, okay. Question three. The XR6 nameplate first appeared on which generation Falcon?
Ed. E-L.
E-L is incorrect.
David.
Tyrone got in next.
EF.
EF is incorrect. David got in there next.
EB.
AU.
EB is correct, Mr. David Prince. EB. Well done.
Yeah,
Damn it.
Were you going to say that
first?
Yeah. Question four. The Holden Astra SRI Turbo TS generation, so the first Turbo Astra we got here, had a very interesting ad campaign when it was first launched. It featured a dog on the back seat. What happened to the dog?
Scott. It got thrown around by the talk steer.
Well, yeah, that would be correct because they talk steer like an absolute pig, but that is incorrect.
Oh, dang. Oh, well, it was worth a joke.
It was worth a try. I'll give you 0.5 because that was quite funny because you get 0.5 for making me laugh. What was that, Ed?
I was just going to say, Ed, Did it get smooshed against the windows, like either side and the back, you know, like thrown around and so squished?
Incorrect, Mr. Bunting. Incorrect.
David, fur get fluffed up because of the turbo?
You're getting warm, but you're not just there yet. Incorrect. Tyrone, lucky last.
What happened to the dog?
Yeah, what happened to the dog in the back seat when he was driving the car?
It's like a cartoon where he took off and the skin was still there, but the dog was down.
You know what? I'll give it to you, Tyrone. What happened was, it was a Shar-Pei. You know those dogs with the rolls.
Oh yeah.
And when the car got on the boost,
yeah. I remember that ad now.
Yeah, it went flat, and then he and then he changed gear and went back to normal, and then it went up again.
Lost. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, that was actually a really good ad. And the caption was, "Nothing pulls like a like an Astra Turbo or something." It was quite funny. So it was a Sharpay and
another night. Good car ads that are being done.
Mm.
That's on my list.
Up there with the bugger ad.
Yeah. I'll pay that, Tyrone. So score check: David 2, Tyrone 1, Scotty 1. Sorry, 0.5, and Edward yet to score. Question 5. Now, just for some context, if you name any of these, because there's a few options, you get 0.5 for each one. If I ordered a BA Falcon taxi pack wagon, what could I have? What did it come with, or what options could I have placed on it?
Ed, you could have got the front bench seat.
Front bench seat is not correct. You couldn't get that on a wagon, a BA wagon, taxi pack.
Do I get any other guesses, or am I out now?
You can have one more guess before. You're allowed to get one wrong.
You could order the screen that blocks off the rear.
Incorrect, Mr. Bunting.
Wow. Okay.
David. David got in there next.
Vinyl trim.
Vinyl trim. Yes, you can. That was a taxi pack. Yep.
Five. What about the taxi radio?
Taxi radio is incorrect. Scotty, you're next. You get the wrongest two guesses.
Could you get the metal bar things for the cargo on the back?
Well, that was just like you could get that for them with an E-Falcon. They didn't have it on there.
Oh, I could do. It was on every single one. Yeah.
You got one more guess?
Oh, you could get it on gas.
They all were factory gas. I'll pay that. I'll give you 0.5. They're all factory gas.
0.5.
They all came in gas. Tyrone, you got two guesses.
Spare wheel. Was that on the inside of the boot?
They had it in the the e-gas came like that. So yeah, that's not one. You got one more guess.
I don't know. What else would you get in a taxi pack?
Squeaky suspension.
Squeaky suspension.
Dry ball joints.
One he did.
No, I don't know.
Selection of aromas inside. Yeah. Like.
No, you're out. So if you ordered a BA taxi pack, you could have got vinyl trim or optional cloth. You could have got heavy duty rubber floor or optional carpet. You could have got the taxi sign wiring automatically with the holes in the roof. You would have got the heavy duty suspension, 16 inch steelies, dual horns to make sure that people know that you're there. rear passenger reading lights, which only came in the taxi pack. Grab handles times 3 with coat hooks. Adjustable front suspension, which I had no idea about, which I didn't realize until I researched this. A manual boot release, an optional taxi yellow or taxi orange paint, depending on what state you lived in. So there you go. Question 6. What was the first Australian car to receive a 5-star ANCAP safety rating?
Ed.
Australian.
Mm-hmm. Alden Acclaim VR.
Incorrect. Not for 5 stars.
I reckon it's got to be newer than that.
Yeah, David.
David.
I'll go the VT Holden Commodore.
VT is incorrect. Scotty.
I still reckon it's newer than that.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I think you are right, Scotty, but that's all I'll say.
I am going to say it was the VE Commodore.
Incorrect. You're in the same ballpark, but not quite correct. Tyrone.
Dang it.
I was going to say VE.
Is it VE, yeah.
VZ was before.
VZ, yeah. That is incorrect, though. It was the FG Falcon. First Australian car ever to receive a 5-star safety rating. Question 7. In the 1970s, North Korea ordered 1,000 cars from a manufacturer. The cars were delivered and shipped, but they were never paid for. What company had their cars stolen? So North Korea.
Our brand and model, is that what we need?
Nah, just give me a brand and I'll give you the chocolates. That's all, because a specific model would be too hard. But they ordered 1,000 cars from a specific manufacturer.
In Australia or just in the world?
I'll give you a hint. It's a European company. Mm. That's all I'll say. And they ordered it from there. And they ordered 1,000 of them and they never paid for them. They got them delivered and never paid.
Ed. Renault's.
Renault's is incorrect.
Scott.
Scott.
I reckon they got Mercedes.
Incorrect. I would have said Merc.
I would have said that. Yeah, I was going to say Merc, that.
But it's incorrect.
BMW.
BMW is also incorrect. Mr. David Prince.
A brand keeps coming to mind because I remember hearing this story back in the day. But
what brand is that?
Make sense. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go Rolls Royce.
Oh, mm-hmm. Incorrect. It was Volvo. Volvo had 1,000 cars ordered. They delivered them and they never got paid for them.
Oh, that's annoying. I should have gone with my gut. I had Volvo in my head. I thought,
What sort of Volvos they were.
Yeah, I'll have to double check that. But basically, it was the largest car theft in automotive history.
Are they still running around in North Korea?
They are still waiting. Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
They're probably early 240s or late 140s. So they're probably still going.
What era was it when they 70s. Did it?
70s.
Oh, 70s. Wow. Okay.
Bonus question. Approximately to today, how much do you think the cars would have been worth? So how much in total was the amount for, if you had to put a dollar number on it, for 1,000 cars?
For back then?
So I think what they did was they estimated it for today in today's money. So if you could, if you could put a number on it for today's money. I'll give closest to, how does that sound?
Is it like, God, that's a big figure.
It's a very big figure.
Scott. I'm going to say it is, what's my figure I've come up with on the calculator? 80 million.
80 million.
I'm going to say 60 million.
60 million says Edward.
I'm going to go 120 million.
120 mil says Mr. Prince and Tyrone.
I'll go 90.
90 million. I'm going to have to split the points here. It was $70 million. So 0.5 to Ed, 0.5 to Scotty. Mm. $70 million. Imagine getting that much stolen off you. That's just crazy. That could have probably sent them almost broke, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, big time.
So score check. David, 2.5. Tyrone, 1. Scotty, 1.5. Edward, 0.5. Question 8. The Jimny Heritage Limited Model Edition. How many were made? And sold in Australia.
David, I'll have a guess. I don't know David, exactly.
I'll do closest to again. How does that sound? I'll do
250.
250 says David.
Ed. 1,000.
1,000 says Bunting.
I'll say 500.
500 says Scotty. And how many do you say, Tyrone?
I'll say 350.
350. Point split again. It was 300. So basically 0.5 to Tyrone, 0.5 to Mr. David Prince. Question 9. Still anybody's game, gentlemen? Still anybody's game? According to BYD's website, under the Dolphin name, so where it says Dolphin and you click into it and it comes up with them, what is the model's catchphrase? Or it says BYD Dolphin. What does it say underneath that? It's splash. Mm-hmm. Or you know what, Bunting? I'll give it to you. It says make a splash. So
ow.
So I'll pay it.
I'm joking.
I'll give it to you. Make a splash with the BYD Dolphin.
That's funny.
Score check.
Say, I haven't been on the BYD website, Maddie. How would I know?
No, neither have I.
No, I didn't think many would, but I thought the question would be quite funny because of
they did launch it at SeaWorld, like we said correct. The other.
That's true.
So I thought
someone could ask me that. Ed, he goes, Ed, where do you think they'd launch the BYD Dolphin? And I just went, SeaWorld. And he went, yeah. And I was like, well, it makes sense.
What's that flipper?
What was that?
What's that flipper?
What's that? Yeah. No. Unfortunately, flipper would be like electrocuted from the electric car being put in there.
Yeah, it
would have been very sad to see flipper and Free Willy and all those people, or people, animals. Question 10: The TRD Hilux was a car that was released in the noughties alongside the TRD Orion. It had an engine size of what in liters?
David. 4 liters.
4 liters is absolutely correct. That is the car quiz, gentlemen. Score check 1.5 to Edward and Tyrone and Scotty. And tonight's winner on a grand total of 3-4 is Mr. David Prince. Well done.
Well done.
Thank you.
Very, very nice.
So I wonder.
It wasn't a TRD, sadly, but I had a 4-liter Hilux. and it hammered. It was a very good engine.
Imagine that with a
rather than the caddy.
Imagine that with a supercharger. That's even
harder. Yeah, that's right. That would have been a weapon. I saw one yesterday actually on the road. I hadn't seen one for ages, but still had all the stripes and stuff on it.
David, what about your next van being an APV Suzuki?
They are pretty cool.
And they've got twin sliding doors. They're very useful space.
They don't have twin sliding doors. They have twin opening doors.
Oh, opening, are they? I thought they were sliding.
And as a result, they would be very hard to seal the load area, which is sort of a prerequisite for what I use, unless you want to breathe paint fumes all day.
I said to David Prince when he was in the UK, he should have just bought a Fiesta van and brought it back with him. You know, that's...
Actually, the Transit Connects I really liked over there.
They're everywhere there, right?
Blocky little vans, and they would look very cool with a nice set of wheels on the bed and some stripes and stuff.
Oh, I've got a buy, swap, and sell car. Now, this is not mine, but a friend of mine's partner passed away, and I'm helping her sort of get a roadworthy and do a few things to this pre-sale, but it's a Hyundai i30 08 hatch in a diesel. So it's the little 1.6 diesel manual, done 160Ks in white. And I just drove it tonight for the first time, and gee, it goes well. You know, it's a nice little thing to drive. But if anyone knows anyone after the little, you know, manual diesel hatch, what's that got to be worth? 160K with a roadie and reg, you know.
It's got to be 7 or 8K, doesn't it?
Well, that much, really? I was thinking more like 5.
Okay.
What year?
08.
Yeah, safety pack or no safety pack? You know.
How do you tell? Is that airbags?
So, I think it's airbags and stability control, I think, because they
do. I'll have to have a closer look at it.
Just drive it into a wall, Edward. You'll find out quick soon enough.
Yeah, exactly. I'll slam the brakes on a wet road, see what happens.
Gentlemen, I think that's a podcast.
Thank you very much, Matthew.
Thank you. We'll do some plugs. David Prince and Edward Bunting, your season 2 is about to drop.
Oh, it's imminent. It's so imminent.
It's really close now.
Yeah, really very close. Very close. Very close.
Retro, the podcast where we talk to people about the cars of their lives on Spotify and YouTube and all those cool places.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome, Edward.
Scotty's golf tips. Golf tip of the week.
Mine's quick today. Don't play the hero shot and your score will drop.
Okay.
I think there's something in that for all of us.
Absolutely.
Actually, I heard on the radio today, people who play golf are very, much more susceptible to skin cancer. So don't forget to slip, slop and slap. Scotty?
Yeah. So even if it's cloudy, still get that sunscreen on, you can still burn.
So David's got golf tip of the week as well.
Good one, yeah.
My golf tip of this week is don't buy one.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Having said that golf country was kind of very cool.
That was cool.
I was like, ooh, that was pretty cool. But
anyway. Have you seen the heard actually, because on the radio, the Volkswagen Amarok ad?
No.
Where it's a guy that supposedly works at Volkswagen and he's like reading out people's reviews and things like that.
No.
I think it's TV.
Oh, it's a TV ad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's an ad for it too. And I keep hearing on the radio. It's so, pisses me off. It's so annoying. Oh, so annoying.
I'm still going to say the best car ads on TV are Subaru's ads currently. They're killing it. And I love that campaign. So Subaru, big thumbs up to you.
I haven't seen the campaign. What are they doing?
It's basically...
Oh, it's been around a while now. That's the one you mean, isn't it, Scotty?
Yeah.
Maddie?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's to the tune of the backing track is Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now.
Okay.
Yeah, and they morph through from a Brumby, sort of, there's the rally car.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Outback and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. A quality ad. That's how you keep your brand loyalty. Tyrone, any things you want to say before we finish on the show? Congratulations again.
Oh, good. Yeah, thank you. Nothing else. I think we should just do a golf day one day.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And go out and have a hit.
I'd actually be keen for that. I'd be miserable. I've never played golf in my entire life before, but I'm pretty sure by all the golf tips we've had, I'll be a pro. It's like I've got no issue with getting par or birdies on all my shots. So.
You easily have it with all those tips. Make sure you just got to re-listen to it all and put it all together into a little its own little podcast of just all my tips, golf tips, and listen to them all the time. You'll be a pro.
Well, just before we end on that, the listeners are loving your golf tips. Pitches like a person made a meme about Lee Carvallo's putting challenge, from the Simpsons, did you see the caption? They changed the caption to "grip your shaft," and like you said, and they put it in the comment section of Facebook. I tagged you in it, but I don't think it worked. So
no, it didn't work. I didn't get it.
You have to go back and have a look. I was like, that's a bit of Scotty. So
that's awesome. I'll check it out.
So that was pretty good. Like it's our Facebook page, it's Car Talk TORQ with Matty J. If you missed any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasting app. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and view to us there. Check out our merch, go to Teespring store, go to teespring.com. And type in Car Talk Store, where our new item drops tonight. So you'll see it on there.
Yes. Can you give us a sneak preview after the podcast?
I will, once I get home, I'll send you guys a PDF version. And Bunting, this is your birthday present. And David Prince, this is for you as well. So
wow.
One for you guys. Check it out. Become a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/cartalkpodcast. Hello to our patrons. Thanks for supporting the show. And thanks to, we've hit 50 subscribers on YouTube. So thanks to our 50th subscriber for subscribing on YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed and you listen to the show, please subscribe on there. A backlog of episodes are going up on there. We're going to try to do some more video content. So please subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Gentlemen, honor as always. If there's a Car Talk top tip to end on, if you're going to buy a car, order 1,000 and don't pay for them. So that is the way you do it. Gentlemen, love your work. Take care. See you next week.
See ya. Bye.